Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast.
We are going to build the kingdom of God in this hour. Jesus is sitting on the cloud. I believe that we are in the end time harvest season, but we're going to do exactly what he told us to do. We're going to disciple nations. Amen.
Grateful for the anointed Davids of our time who can not only, much like when I worship in the natural, I make a joyful noise. I think my dancing is similar. It is a joyful stumble or something. I don't know. But we all have a key role to play. And this is a significant hour to be checking in with God and saying, Lord, what do you have for me to do? And do not despise small beginnings. God had done, I've told you this story, so I'll review it briefly, but it was probably about a year ago when I saw certain things happening, and I thought, somebody needs to run for office and straighten this stuff out, man. I guess I'll do it. And my wife, in her wisdom, in one of our conversations said, do you think that's the best investment of your time, honey? And I thought, well, somebody's got to do it. And I can feel that God's saying we need to raise up. We need to invade the realm of politics with righteousness, truth, and justice, and a lack of compromise. And she said, but do you think maybe that'll drive you a little crazy? And I thought, yeah, no, I'm quite sure it will. I'm very black and white. I don't do well with compromise. We need that, though. And she said, yeah, but maybe somebody called to that realm. Has God told you to do that? And I was like, no. She said, maybe he's telling you to pray those people in. And I thought, that's it. And the reason I'm sharing this story is because just because we see a need, absolutely, I want to be careful how I say this, because we can always, from the abundance of heaven, express the fullness of God into any need, and we should be looking for that. In this hour, we need to be aware, though, when it comes to the investment of our time. Like, if we see a need that somebody needs a blanket or food or finances, bless them. Fill that need. If somebody needs wisdom or friendship or kindness or love or patience or compassion, fill that need. If somebody needs salvation, fill that need. Lead them to the Lord. But when it comes to the significant time investment of, as my wife so wonderfully calls it, your lane, this is a key time to discover what your lane is and serve Jesus in that lane 110%. And so for me, when I went to God with this, I saw that what I do in my prayer chair, in my little tiny living room here in Maricopa, in my prayer chair, in my focused prayer times, will actually have more influence on the governmental realm than if I personally, with my personality, how I am, how I'm wired, if I went into politics, I would probably do more harm than good. You guys know, I had told you, I had to turn off the news so I wasn't doing harm with the words that came out of my mouth. But each and every one of you has such a key role to play. Like Samuel dancing in the desert. Whatever you're called to do, do it with all your heart. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because God has a plan and you're a big part of it. And we've been talking about this for the better part of 2 years, but this is the season to step into it. Can you imagine if Susan had decided, you know what, we need politicians. I'm going to give my time 100% to politics. And she wasn't here to lead us in worship every Sunday. Oh my gosh, she's in her lane. Adam's in his lane. Our worship team is in their lane, and they're doing incredible good for the kingdom. What we just accomplished in the spirit in 45 minutes of worship will echo throughout eternity and impact every sphere of it. We just called the body of Christ into its place. We just brought the body of Christ into what I preached 2 weeks ago about how we must be the body in this hour and do the works that he did. So thank you, Susan and Adam and the whole worship team, for knowing your lane and serving it brilliantly. Yeah, let's give glory to God. So these are dark days, and we don't need to be prophets or discerners to see the darkness in the earth right now. I mean, I'm not kidding. I saw a Ritz cracker commercial this week that broke my heart. I was like, we are normalizing wickedness and sin and unrighteousness. Now hear me. What was represented in that commercial that I'm not going into, my heart also broke for what was represented, because for so long people have been marginalized and brutalized with words and in other ways, and we must show up in love. We must show up in mercy and compassion and kindness. We must be the burning bush that draws people to God in his mercy, his love, and his compassion so they can hear his truth. I watched this happen in Thailand. We may not get to my message this morning, and that's okay. I watched that happen in Thailand over and over and over again, not only in the work that we intentionally went there for to help women and children come out of there are little kids here, so I'm going to be careful, to come out of the life, come out of the trade, to come out of human trafficking, I'll put it that way. But in the 6 years, where we go 3 times a year for several weeks each time. In the 6 years of doing that, we had great favor with the Ladyboy community. God blessed us with favor with the Ladyboy community, which is a recognized third gender, 10 years ago over there. And the way we got favor is we loved them unconditionally. We accepted them utterly, totally, and completely. And I'm going to tell you the truth. My first time with them, that was hard for me. You know what the breakthrough was? When I was willing to be real with them and said, which bathroom do I use here? They thought that was the funniest question in the world. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, I wanna honor you guys. I don't wanna do anything dishonoring. And so I understand that like there's not 3 bathrooms here. So some of you, you know, identify this way, some of you identify as that way. What's the right thing for me to do? They were so touched that I would ask a stupid question. That's what they said. They said, no one has ever asked us that before. No one's ever been concerned about that before. That broke things open. We then spent about an hour talking about all the actresses in Hollywood they were convinced were ladyboys. I share that intentionally too. That took things to another level because I was willing to have the conversation they wanted to have. I was willing to accept them as people. And this was totally the grace of God, because I'm going to be honest, when I walked in there, I was going, this is sort of freaking me out, man. I don't have any experience here. But God loves every single one of them. And when I would hear their histories and hear their stories, all of a sudden I was in a place of, I'm so sorry that you've been through that. I'm so sorry that everybody looks at you and treats you this way. They asked a heartbreaking question. I've heard this in New Age communities where we go and minister on the streets too. They asked us if we were really Christians. I said, why? They said, because you've been so kind to us. And they tried, they admitted it. They tried to shock us and freak us out with some of the things. Because where we went was not a church. It was called, I can't remember if it was Our Sister or My Sister's House, because it was quite a few years ago. But it was a place that had been funded by an LGBTQ group in San Francisco to help decrease the spread of HIV amongst the ladyboy community because of their main way of earning a living in Pattaya, Thailand. And so they said, you can come and be with us, but you have to go through our presentation. Their presentation was shocking, I'm not gonna lie. But they expected us to either flee or, you know, do the Dracula thing. They were blown away that we were willing, that we wanted relationship with them. Now hear me, we never compromised the gospel one bit, but we didn't start by beating them over the head with it. We started by being a burning bush. We started by allowing God, I'll speak me personally, so God could set me ablaze with his love to burn up my flesh that was going, I don't get this, and it's kind of freaking me out. But God consumed that part of me that was not like him and said, son, it's okay to be uncomfortable with this, but don't make them uncomfortable with your uncomfortableness. Love them and accept them where they are, so then you can lead them to the fullness of my love and all that I truly created them to be. I think I've told you this story. At one point, we were the one of the main leaders there asked us and said, hey, would you be willing to go to all the ladyboy bars in town with us? And this is like at 10 at night. So it's just starting to ramp up. They're basically saying, in a couple hours when things really get going, will you go from ladyboy bar to ladyboy bar with us? And I asked, why? I said, we want our friends to meet you so you can pray with them. I thought, yes, we will go with you. It would be a privilege. It would be an honor. I felt like I was back on the streets of inner city Vancouver when we went and lived with the prostitutes and the drug addicts and the homeless people and the not quite so homeless people for a week in a flophouse hotel that was very challenging to my flesh. But after just a couple days when they saw us, in their midst, not to tell them all that they'd done wrong, not to say, we're here to save you because we are the Christians and we are the good people with no track marks and we're here to show you the error of your ways. No, we were there to let them know that you're loved exactly where you are. And a moment came when they wanted to take us everywhere to meet their friends. I saw things that were shocking at 2 a.m. But they wanted to take us to those places so we could meet their friends and pray for them. And me specifically, because I was younger, fitter, had slightly more hair. I had a full head of hair, but it was cut like this back then. And everywhere we went, they had to put their arm around me and say, don't run, he's not a cop. I said, why do you keep telling people I'm not a cop? They said, because you look like one. I had blue jeans on, a black t-shirt. I was quite fit back then and had this short cropped hair. And as they told me, they said, you look like you bathed today. Everybody's gonna think you're a policeman. And I was like, oh, well, thank you for letting them know I'm not. And we got to pray with people because we didn't tell them these drugs won't harm you. We didn't tell them God has nothing better for you. This is it. We told them you have value. You have worth. Right where you are, you're worth us pouring out our lives, not to lecture you, but to remind you that you are a beloved son, you are a beloved daughter. These are dark days. Wickedness and unrighteousness and sin are being normalized through almost every voice except some of the church. And I'm grieved to say, even in some of the church, wickedness and sin and unrighteousness are being normalized. I'm not here to point fingers at them. I'm here to cheer you champions on. Because in Shiloh Fellowship, we're not going to do that. We're not going to compromise truth and righteousness, especially when we disagree on what that looks like in practical terms, like politics and policies. Some, it's very clear what's right and what's wrong. You know, we know that some of it's very clear according to the Word of God. But what's also clear is we are stronger together than apart. What's also clear is the more we burn with the fullness of His love, the more we will reach the lost and see them like Moses in Exodus 3. My favorite translation says, when Moses saw that the bush burned but was not consumed, he said, I must go and see why. And my favorite translation says, so Moses turned aside from the path that he had been on. Do you realize we carry a light and a love and a truth and a power and a righteousness and justice and love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness in us so powerfully that it will cause people to turn aside from the path that they've been on? That's what we carry. That is the answer. Yes, these are dark days, but what do we do in dark days? Let's go back to Isaiah 60, which we've been talking about verses 1-3 for the last 3 years, and boy, are we in the midst of it. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is not just the presence. As charismatics, when we feel the presence, we say, there's the glory. That's part of the glory, but the glory of the Lord is the fullness of God. The glory of the Lord is His presence, His personality, and His power. I've used this expression before. Ron and Patricia are two of my absolute favorite people. I don't think there's anybody in my life I've learned more from, been more loved and accepted by. And when they come in the room, it makes me smile. If Patricia walked in right now, if Ron walked in right now, I would smile. Why? Because of their presence. But the presence is not the fullness of who they are. Their personalities are part of what I love about them so much because they both love on such a full spectrum of love. They love in acceptance. They love in mercy. They love in seeing the very best in everyone they meet. They love in the ability to disciple and bring discipline and wisdom when it's needed, not to punish or be punitive or bring condemnation or shame, but to bring correction because they can see so often more clearly than I did what I was called to, what I was to be walking in. So their personality is a huge part of the fullness of their goodness, but so is the power that they walk in. If you notice that when Patricia's up here preaching, it's not just the heavens that shake, it's the earth too. Why? Because she walks in great apostolic and prophetic and discipling and preaching and pastoring and evangelizing power. I'm so grateful. Anybody who has them in their life in any measure is blessed. But to have the fullness of their goodness in my life, you've heard me say it, I'll never be able to thank them enough for what they've given to me. I'm not just a better minister and preacher and prophetic voice because of them. I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I'm a better brother. I'm a better friend. And for those of you who are kind enough to be my friends, hopefully you've seen some improvement in my ability to love.
We have.
Good. Because I was one who really needed to grow in love. And I'm so grateful that I not only have the ultimate mentor, the Holy Spirit, but I'm incredibly grateful that I have the fullness of God's goodness. And it expresses through the fullness of the goodness of people like Ron and Patricia. So when it says the glory of the Lord will rise upon you, that's not only his wonderful, glorious presence that can draw people, but it's his wisdom. It's his love and mercy. It's his truth. It's his discipline. It's his revival and his reformation. But it's also his power that can set people free like that, that can break deception off people like that. Darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. Lord, yeah. And if we could dial that down, it would be great. But I know it's our job to work with you to dial it down. But darkness will cover the earth. It's dark days in the earth right now, but it's not dark days in the church. Well, let me say it differently. It's not dark days in the kingdom. And as the church, we can plug into that light so that it won't be dark days in the church. And there's deep darkness on the peoples. The next line is not, so the Lord is freaking out, man. The next line is not, so God has no idea what to do. The next three words are three of my favorite words in the Bible wherever I see them. But the Lord. Say that. But the Lord. But the Lord will rise upon who? You. One of the things I think we're addressing in love right now in the global church is this idea, because you all know, I've been a vocal and strong proponent for righteousness, truth, and justice in every sphere of influence, and we may not agree in what that looks like in every sphere. You've heard what I think right now in our nation, and if you differ with me, that's okay. I love you, and I understand that some of you differ with me, and you're learning to love me. I've read your comments on social media. But I love you all the more. I'm grateful for the grace growers in my life. But, you know, one of the criticisms that I get regularly when I talk about as the church, we must embrace righteousness, truth, and justice. We must vote for it, get involved in different spheres of influence to bring it forth. One of the things people often say to me is, I don't know why you want to make a ruckus. God is sovereign. And I think, you're absolutely right. God is sovereign, and his sovereign plan since day six is for his church to legislate, thank you, Susan, to legislate his love, his truth, his righteousness in the earth. We've talked about it for 2 years. I don't have to go very deeply back into this, but since day six, God has had a sovereign plan. It's you and me. It's people being willing to be in relationship with him who will express his kingdom in the earth. Jesus didn't say in the Great Commissioning, hey, so I've won all, I've done all, I'm sovereign, so I bought you a couch. It's a really nice couch. And what I'm calling you to do is just chill, bro. I'm sovereign. Lay out on the couch. The angels are making some popcorn. Hallmark's got some great holiday movies come out. Put your socks on and just chill, man. That is not what he said. He said, I've won all, I've done all, I am anointing you to go out and preach the gospel in its fullness to everyone so they know I love them exactly as they are, exactly where they are. Go forth and disciple nations. He doesn't just say, save the lost, which we should. He says, shift atmospheres of nations. Disciple nations. Bring revival and reformation to nations. What's that look like? Well, it means being at least willing to vote for righteousness. to vote for righteous platforms. It means to invade nations and shift policies from wickedness to righteousness. And if you don't believe me, believe the word of God that says, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light. Now you could say, yeah, but Robert, in the Hebrew, that word is ethnos, and it can just mean the unsaved tribes. Okay, but it is talking about entire people groups. And kings will come to the brightness of your rising. So let's settle that we're to be involved in politics right here. Because what do kings do? They rule and reign. And what are they going to do? They're going to come to our light if we embrace the fullness of his love. We can see the increasing darkness, wickedness, and unrighteousness in the land, which means it's our time to arise and shine. This past weekend, Uri and I were sitting around. She likes to do laundry on Saturday nights, and I like to let her. I fold. She likes to do laundry. She has a way to do it. I have my chores. That's one of the ones. She's a much better administrator than I am, so she assigned me my chores, and I said, sure. The only thing I really don't like doing is cleaning bathrooms, and she actually likes to do that. So I'm like, we're a great match. Her least favorite chore, the thing that she actually that makes her skin crawl is unloading the dishwasher, which amazes me because she's so brilliant and so administrative and so organized, but she can't stand it. So I was like, it will be easy for me to give you this gift of love. You're willing to clean bathrooms? I will unload every dishwasher ever, honey. And so in many ways, we're a great match. That's one of the ways, is we are willing to do the things that the other person doesn't like very much. So while she was doing laundry, we were talking and catching up. And because I've turned off my news app, she was giving me briefings because she's so smart and she has this ability to disseminate information. But while this happened, all of a sudden, we're flipping around on the TV and the movie Darkest Hour came on. Have you seen it? About Winston Churchill? I highly encourage you to watch this movie. Winston Churchill is one of my heroes. And what I love about the movie, though, is it's right when they're deciding how to respond to the dark aggression in Europe that is threatening England as well. And the neat thing about the movie, especially if you know the history, is Winston Churchill had been way out of favor. Winston Churchill as a young man had tons of favor. He was brilliant in many ways. He had a huge ego. He was not always the kindest person. If Twitter had existed back then, some of those tweets probably wouldn't have been so great. And he made some big mistakes. He made some serious military mistakes that caused him to lose a lot of favor at the Battle of Gallipoli, right, Esther? Wasn't it? Gallipoli was the Australian one. What was the one? It was World War I, and it was one of those battles like that. It was a big mistake, and it was with the Navy, right? Because he was in charge of the Navy. Anyways, I can't remember the battle. Maybe it was Gallipoli, because there were lots of nations involved in that. That's not what matters. He had lost favor. But then in a crucial moment in his nation, in a crisis moment, he gets elected back to being prime minister. But everybody's against him. The other party's against him. Most of his party's against him. At first, the king is against him. But he's so committed. He's the one that is, even Neville Chamberlain, a former prime minister who had a beautiful heart, heart of compassion. His motto was never again. Because he'd seen the ravages of World War I, and because of that, he basically gave Europe away to the demonic aggression of evil and hate. And many suffered. But you can look at Neville Chamberlain and say, he had a good heart. He was not a good wartime leader. Winston Churchill was, because Winston Churchill would say things like, when will we learn that you cannot give place to darkness? Now, that's a physical, that's a real world expression, but this is where we are as a people right now. We're in a dark hour in our nation and the world, but I am here to tell you, not thus saith Robert, but thus saith the word of the Lord, this will be our finest hour. This will be our finest hour. In one of the times that I ministered in England, I think I've told you all this story, I was blessed to be taken on a very small private tour of the Houses of Parliament, and I was taken into the main chamber. I had to go through the House of Commons because I don't have royal blood in their mind. I tried to explain, oh, I have royal blood. I have the blood of the King of Kings flowing through me in my bloodline. But they didn't recognize that as royal blood. That was their error, not mine. But I decided to be humble and go low, as my mentors have taught me. We can always go lower. But so we're going through that, and we're in the parliament room with the two sides and everything. And at first they say, you have to go up on the risers because you're not allowed down in the main area. And so I'm fine. And so My guide was this wonderful older woman, and the first thing she'd asked me, this was several years ago, the first thing she said to me is, oh, you're an American. Don't you just love Hillary Clinton? And I said, well, I know God loves her. I know God loves her. And she looked at me like, that's not at all what I was expecting. So she was not a believer at that moment. And she took me on this tour. And I thought, okay, this is probably going to be the shortest tour in the world because she is, you know, I answered wrong in her mind. But God moved in the tour. And this is one of the things that happened. As she's giving me this wonderful tour, she's a brilliant woman, knew her history, knew everything. She's a wonderful tour leader. She looks at me and she says, I've never asked anybody this before. And I thought, oh, God is moving. She said, I've never asked anybody this before, but would you like to go down to the floor? And I said, I would like to. And she said, there's something I want to show you. And I was like, great. She said, put your hand on the table. I was like, I did. She said, do you feel the divot there? Now, it's been varnished and polished over many times, but do you feel the divot there? I said, oh, yeah, it's quite significant. She said, you know what that came from? I said, no. She said, well, during World War II, when Winston Churchill was rallying Parliament and rallying the nation, he used to bang his hand on the table, and that dent is from his wedding ring, repeatedly banging in the same spot. And I said, may I have a moment? She said, yes. I put my hand there and I said, Lord, any of your anointing left to shift the direction of nations knowingly or unknowingly, I pull on that right now and I release to the ecclesia, I release to the body of Christ. I take it in because there will be a moment when we must shift a nation and we will do it to your glory, Jesus Christ. So I am here to tell you, this will be the church's finest hour. This will be when we truly arise and shine. This will be when the glory of the Lord appears upon us, the kingdom of God arises upon us, and we influence every single sphere of authority, where we begin to legislate, where we begin to execute the wisdom and brilliance of God in the fullness of his love. And all we have to do is say yes. Yes. All we have to do is Isaiah 6. God, I have seen you high and lifted up. You are on the throne. Now send me in the revelation of your utter, complete, and total love, wisdom, breakthrough power, and an expression of your government. And we can shift nations from our prayer chairs. We can shift nations from our school boards. We can shift nations from the voting booth. We can shift nations and tear down every lie, every fraud, every malfeasance. We can establish righteousness in big business. We can see things torn down and nations in every sphere. We can see righteousness, truth, and justice reestablished in the land. But we have to stop waiting for God to do it. He did it at the cross. That isn't saying, God, you're no longer sovereign and I'm in charge. This is not an Al Haig moment. For those of you who are as old as I am and can remember the Reagan administration, when Mr. Reagan got shot, Alexander Haig kind of overstepped his authority and said, I'm in charge now. And you know what? Love believes the best, so let's believe Mr. Haig wanted to serve his nation and wanted to make sure there was no gap of authority. let's believe the best about Mr. Haig. It's become a bit of, it was a meme before there was memes. But let's believe the best about him, because that's what love does. But what I'm saying is that's not what we're doing. We're not saying, God, we're in charge now. We're the dominion stewards. No, it's completely, utterly, and totally in his sovereign will, according to his sovereign plan, deputized by in his authority, in the power of his Holy Spirit, and he gets all the credit. So I've got to wrap up because we're only a few minutes away and we haven't even gotten through 1A of 5 pages here, but that's good. That's good. But there is one other thing I very want to quickly address, because one of the mistakes we have to avoid making is this idea, well, if God is sovereign, then we're just going to sit this out. No, 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 no. God is absolutely sovereign. God is large and in charge. Jesus Christ has authority over all the heavens and all the earth. He has won all, he has done all, but he has also given all. And even the Apostle Paul says this, I think it's in Ephesians 3, where he says, and then he gives it to the church for his glory, so we're to be doing this. I was listening to a podcast early this morning of Lance Wallnau and Charlie Kirk. And I appreciate both their voices. I know they're both quite controversial, and I'm simply saying that I appreciate their voices and their wisdom. And they're not, and like all of us, they know in part. So if you disagree with them, I still love you. But one of the things I found fascinating was they were talking about how intentional the word ecclesia is that was used in Matthew 16 by Jesus when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm not going to get this right because I don't remember the exact wording, but the gist of it was this. Ecclesia, he did not use other words that could have been, and Leo, help me if you can, because you tend to know this stuff better than I do, that didn't mean synagogue or temple. He very intentionally used the word that in the Greek is ekklesia, and what that can be translated to pretty closely is like a city council meeting. In not in the church, but in that day, in that era, in the Roman Empire, the ekklesia was like definitely a governing body. So he's saying you're to rule and reign, not because God's not sovereign, but because it's his sovereign plan. The other thing I want to quickly address, and I was going to spend all my time on it this morning, but maybe we'll do that next time, is the other thing that is I have stood for righteousness, truth, and justice. And I think it's really good that we have these conversations because we must be balanced. I shared a video that Patricia shared with me. You can go to my Facebook page to see it, that Dr. Michael Brown did, that was a very balanced approach to where we are. I didn't agree with everything he said, but I love his heart and I love how balanced he is. And I think we have to make sure we not only fight for righteousness, truth, and justice right now, but we actively support those who are, even if they're flawed, because that's all God has to work with is flawed people. But that doesn't mean we make a savior or an idol out of any man or woman. That's a huge mistake, man. Jesus is our savior and only our savior. But the one thing, as I've stood for this, one of the other criticisms that has been leveled against me is, I don't know why you're taking such a strong stand, not for a politician, by the way, when I take a strong stand for truth, justice, and righteousness, when I've been very vocal about praying for truth, justice, and righteousness in our nation and even in our election. And some of the things that have been said to me is, but love is the answer. But love is the way. But our main job is not to stand up for a political situation. It's to be the representation of Jesus Christ. And to everyone who has sent those things to me, I want to say this to you. You're absolutely right. Love is the way. Love is the answer. We must represent and represent the image of Jesus Christ. But what I want to point out this morning is that seems to get mixed up in this lie of love just is like, hey, man, just love everybody and tell them it's okay. That's not real love. Jesus did not look down. The theological can of worms that is the Godhead did not look down from heaven and say, it's pretty dark down there. Hey, you know, let's manifest the sun in the earth as a man. And here's what I want you to do. Just go tell everybody it's okay. Just go tell everybody I love them. Now hear me, John 3:16 makes it very clear why the Father sent the Son, because he so loved the world. It's all about love. It's always about love, but we must understand that the fullness of love is not just, to use Joyce Meyer's term, sloppy agape. It's not just, oh, I love you so much, bro. Everything's cool, bro. Just want you to know you're loved, man. I want everyone to know they're loved. But in that love, we must see that Jesus came. He didn't ignore sin. He didn't excuse sin. He didn't say to wickedness or righteousness, maybe we'll deal with that later. I want you to know you're loved. He said, no, because I love you, I have come to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I've come to knock the cup of poison out of your hand. So I don't have time to unpack this. As I say, maybe we'll do it next time. But what I want you to hear is absolutely yes, love is the answer. Absolutely yes, love is the way, because otherwise, without love, even if we're right, take it from someone who has unfortunately done this, even when I'm right, if there is no love, I'm just a clanging gong. I don't reach anybody. I've watched walls go up instead of walls come down. Yet we must also know that love is not just, everything's okay, man. Love deals with wickedness, unrighteousness, fights for those who do not yet see it. Jesus Christ fought for me for 38 and a half years when all I did was mock him, persecute him, and be horrible to his people. When he showed up that day outside my cabin in the woods when I was 38 and a half years old, he said to me, I refuse not to love you. It was a message of complete, total, unconditional love, willing to meet me exactly where I was in the mess of things that I knew I'd made my life of. Most of the world looked at me and said, you've done great. But I knew the mess that my heart was and my life was. And so did he. He started by being a burning bush of love that said, I refuse to compromise my complete, utter, and total acceptance of your worth and value in my eyes. But he didn't leave it at that. Very soon after that, he said, there's some things I want to address in your life. There's some things I want to bring into revival and reformation. Not so that you will be loved. That's religion, and I didn't come for that. But in our relationship, I'm here to set you free of those things. So in this hour, we need to understand God is absolutely sovereign, and we are a part of his sovereign plan. And we must understand that love is the answer. Love is the only way that this is going to work out, and that we must represent and represent Jesus Christ. But to be truly effective, we must do it in fullness of what love truly is. And maybe next time we'll unpack more of what that love truly looks like. Because even Jesus said, this is what matters most. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So Jesus said, and then he said, just as important, love your neighbor as you are loved. But Jesus started out, this is what true kingdom love is. I'm not giving you a yardstick of performance. I'm giving you a revelation of the power tool you have in love to shift nations. And it begins by loving God very actively, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It takes no strength to check out. He said it's going to take all our strength. And what does that mean? Because God loves us, we love God. When I'm in my prayer chair and I'm having those communion moments with God, it doesn't take much strength to go, oh, this is awesome. But it does take strength to get up and walk those things out. To love God enough to take a stand for righteousness, truth, and justice. But then we must understand that he says, and I'll end with this, that he says, start foremost by loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, which means you not only feel emotion towards God, but you love what he loves, righteousness, truth, and justice, and you take stands for those with all your strength. Just as important is we must love our neighbor as we are loved. How are we loved? We're loved by Jesus Christ, who absolutely accepts us where we are, but absolutely went to war against the things that would keep us trapped in darkness. And that's how we're to love our neighbor. We're not to love our neighbor and say, it's all good, man. It's to say, God loves you so much. And I am here to make sure you know the worth and value you have in his eyes. And then there'll be a moment like in Pattaya, Thailand, when we were going from Ladyboy Bar to Ladyboy Bar, as we're walking through Walking Street, the most dark and wicked, overtly, publicly dark and wicked part of Pattaya, Thailand, when our guide, who was the ladyboy, turned to us and said, okay, seriously, why are you being so kind to us? And in the middle of Walking Street, which it's hard to describe, but it's just a hubbub of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's loud and flashing lights. It's like the Strip in Las Vegas, but it's even darker and more wicked because it's all perversion, right? And it's loud, and there's throngs of people, and they're drunk and all sorts of stuff, and you can barely hear each other. So we're shouting to be heard because our God loves you so much. It's so easy to love you. Right in the middle of that, Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, I must know this God. And we led him to Jesus Christ. We loved him enough to show the love of the Father. And then we loved him enough when he said, what do I do now? He said, we know some churches that will accept you exactly as you are. And here's what I suggest. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you plugged into a church that will let you show up exactly as you are. Focus right now on God's love for you. 2 years later, I get an email from this guy. We'd stayed in touch over the time. And he would probably email me every couple months or message me, private message me on Facebook and give me updates. 2 years later, I get this email from him, and I didn't recognize it was from him because the picture didn't look anything like him. And he showed me, God has shown me that I'm his son. And he now presents himself to the world as a man. Not out of religion, not out of performance, but out of revelation. Because God's love brought transformation. Because we refuse not to love him when he thought he was a her. And hey, look, I have no problem if somebody communicates to me the pronoun they want to be communicated by. I'm happy to use any pronoun they want. This isn't a judgment. This isn't a criticism. I want to meet them with love and honor exactly where they are. But I am not going to compromise kingdom truth because I know true love also brings transformations of righteousness. Not to get love because you realize you are love. Do me a favor, stand your feet. Father God, here we are. Having an Isaiah 6 moment, knowing that there may be darkness in the earth and even deep darkness on the people, but God, you are seated on the throne. You are high and lifted up over all of it. It's not taking you by surprise, and you have a glorious plan, and we are so grateful, God, that we get to be a part of it. Lord, anything in us that needs to be brought into alignment, please do it. Take that burning coal and hold it to our lips or our hearts. Create in us clean hands and pure hearts, not so that we are loved, but so that we can more fully express your love. We can more fully express your love, God. Help us to allow you to arise and shine in us. Help us to allow your kingdom to arise in us. Help us to go out in the fullness of love and truly and fully represent you, God. Help us in your love show mercy and kindness and compassion. Help us in your love communicate truth and stand for righteousness and bring about justice. Help us in your love be an expression of revival and reformation, not only for the glorious individuals that you died on the cross for, but the nations that you've called us to disciple. Give us wisdom, God, and let us go forth from this place truly covered in the glory of God, the fullness of your goodness. Lord, I ask that you would empower each of us, you would grace each of us to linger in your word and your presence by faith, by feeling, by every single aspect of who and what you've created us to be and the seasons you have each of us in, God, that we would go forth from this place in the fullness of your goodness, knowing your presence, knowing you're with us no matter what, when we feel it, when we don't feel it, knowing your power to bring transformation and that we don't have to lean on our own strength, but we can lean into your Holy Spirit strength. And God, also, and perhaps most importantly right now, your personality, being kind, being compassionate, being loving, being patient, and standing for truth and justice and righteousness in a way that never brings condemnation or guilt or shame, but brings true kingdom transformation. Because, Lord, in these dark days, the answer is you. You in us and you through us. All to your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Patricia delights in resourcing you and prays for your increase in every blessing of the Lord. May today's message impact you greatly and draw you closer to God's heart and purposes for your life. For more information about other Patricia King resources, events, and partnership, connect with her on patriciaking.com. Also, follow her on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and iTunes podcast.